good to see everyone here this morning. You are here because you chose to be here. Nobody forced you. Nobody put a gun to your head, said you've got to go to church. You are here because you want to worship God in spirit and in truth. You want to partake of the Lord's Supper. You want to pray with your brethren, sing with your brethren, study God's word. It is a wonderful, wonderful time. Worship is a tremendous time in our week. We should look at it that way, that this is the time when we get together with our brethren and we go before the throne of God together. We praise God together. We pray to him together. We study his word together. A wonderful, wonderful time. We're just glad to be with one another on the first day of the week. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we are so thankful that we can come to you in prayer and come to you as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we pray, Father, as we study this morning, as we strive to do your will, that you would help us. Help us to remember that we need to think about all aspects of your word and of your work, and to do all we can to cooperate and work together, to do everything we can to build each other up, to encourage each other, especially at this critical time when we are trying to find a new preacher. We ask, Lord, that you bless our committee, bless all of us as we think about people, and we pray for the situation. We pray that just the right man will be found, that he will help us to grow and to do your will. We pray in Jesus' name, and amen. We're going to have two scripture readings this morning. And the first one is in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Give me a minute to get there. Said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, enduring afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now the second scripture we're going to read this morning is over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning verse number 12, 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. Paul said this, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. God had one son, and he was a preacher. And this morning I'd like to talk about the work of the gospel preacher. I do this for several reasons. Number one, because it is taught in the Bible what the preacher is like and what he's to do. I do it because of the fact that we are in this situation of trying to select a preacher. I do it because of the fact that there are times when people have not heard enough about preaching. I have a friend down in Texas who one day was called by one of the elders and he said, I've got a bone to pick with you, I want to talk to you. So when an elder says that to a preacher, he says, no, oh, I'm in trouble now. So he and this elder went to lunch, and preacher says to him, well, what's up? What's going on? He says, you have not done your job. The preacher said, well, I know I make mistakes. I don't mean to leave something out. What exactly are you thinking about? He said, you've been here almost 10 years, and we've not heard one sermon about preaching and about preachers. Don't you believe the Bible teaches about preachers or preaching? He said, well, of course I do. He said, then why don't you do it? We need to hear some sermons about preaching. You're a good preacher. You know the Bible. You know what the Word says. You deliver very excellent lessons. He said, and we need to hear that part of the Bible. This preacher had not thought about that. He said, so he got up several lessons about preaching. Preached them to that congregation. Everybody needs to know some things about preaching. Number one, because Jesus was a preacher. If you claim to follow Jesus Christ, you're claiming to follow a man that was a preacher. Mark chapter 1 says Jesus came preaching. He was a preacher. We also need to remember the charge that Paul gave to Timothy here, preach the word. He said that God is going to judge people in the sight of all men. He says, and he will judge the quick and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom. All of that is involved, but part of that is also the preaching of that basic facts. Preaching is important because of the fact of what we find in the New Testament. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome. Paul said to the Corinthians, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. When you look through the book of Acts, every single conversion, every single one, there is a preacher who is there teaching the word. Now, maybe it's an apostle, it's an inspired preacher. But not all of them are inspired. But you have preaching and teaching all the way through the book of Acts. Jesus gave the Great Commission and said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, the fact of the matter is, there are 19 different words in the New Testament that deal with the work of a preacher. And I thought, boy, that's a lot of information to go through, a lot of Greek studies, but we're not going to do that. Sometime if you want to do that, I'll give you the information. That's not a secret. Most preachers know about it. But the fact is that it does give you an insight into what preaching and preachers are really all about. First of all, you need to understand that there are really only three words in the New Testament that really give a name or a title or a working language in regard to the role of the preacher. First is this word evangelist. And in the original language, the evangelist means one who proclaims good news. Could be somebody coming in from a battle and he says, we've won. That's the evangelist. He has good news. We've won the battle. Could be a man who comes out after delivering a baby and he says to a father, good news, you've got a son. Yeah, that's good news to some men. Definitely want to have a son. So that would be good news. Sometimes the good news is you've got a healthy baby. That's the real good news. But the word is used several times in the New Testament. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, he says, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now I realize the fact that in our world today, when people use the word evangelist, they think of some preacher who's traveling from town to town. He gets an arena or a hall or maybe a church, and he has the responsibility of converting the sinners. Somebody who just travels around, his job is to take people out of the kingdom of darkness, put them in the kingdom of light, get them away from sin, get them following God. They're a man who's to convert the people. That is a 20th and a 19th century definition from America. That is not a Bible definition. I would tell anybody, if you want to find out what the Bible definition is, look in the Bible itself. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 said, God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And the idea is that an evangelist is someone who proclaims good news. Now the good news may be in a number of things. It may have to do with the plan of salvation. It may have to do with the fact that Jesus died for your sins. It may have to do with heaven. It may have to do with hell. Telling people that there is a judgment coming. It may have to do with marriage. It may have to do with love. It may have to do with hope. It may have to do with kindness. All those are part of the good news. And an evangelist is one who preaches all of the good news. He doesn't just preach part of it. He preaches as much as he possibly can. And it's all good news. There is really no bad news unless you're going to defy God. That's the only bad news that there is. The second word is this word preacher. And the Greek word is the word kerux. And it really means a herald, a public proclaimer. And this is the idea of a preacher. It is someone who will tell people in a public forum, public way, of what God's word is. Paul said, I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. He said that in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. He said it also in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 7. Paul told the Roman brethren, he said, how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, it is the idea of someone who stands in front of a group. And it may be on a street corner. It may be in a church building. It may be in a school. It may be in your home. It may be somewhere, but he stands in front of some group, and it may only be five people. But he stands before them and proclaims the good news. He proclaims the good news of the gospel. And then the third word that we find in the New Testament is this word minister. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, he said, if thou wilt put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And that word is the idea really of servant. It is one who will serve and do God's will in their particular service. Now that's something that we need to keep in mind, that the preacher is a servant, that he serves the word of God. Now, it could involve many different things. It could involve home Bible study. It could involve answering questions. It could be involved in going to the hospital and talking to somebody. It could involve counseling. A lot of things are involved with being a servant of people. But we need to keep that in mind, that the preacher is also a servant. Now, what is the real task of a preacher? Well, first of all, I want to look at what it's not. If we can't get through all of these points this morning, we might finish it up tonight. Some people think that the idea of the role of the preacher is to be a comedian. They have the idea this is like a theater where the audience, he's up there and he's the entertainment. I had a man tell me one time, he said, David, every sermon ought to start off with a joke. Every one. I said, every one? He said, every single one. He said, he had a few others along the way too. Well, there's nothing wrong with an illustration. There's nothing wrong with an illustration that's humorous. There's nothing wrong with telling a joke. But the fact of the matter is that preaching is more serious than that. And also the fact that when people have the idea that this is what we're here for, is to be entertained, you've just missed the point entirely. Sinners are to be drawn by the gospel. They are to be drawn by the fact that there is the crucified Savior. They are to be drawn by the fact that God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. You're to be drawn by the fact that God does not want any to perish, but to all to come to repentance. That is what we're here for, that is to think about the serious matters of the Bible. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now again, there's nothing wrong with telling a joke. There's nothing wrong with humor. The Bible has a lot to say about humor. A merry heart does good medicine. It's like good medicine, what the proverb says. And we should keep that in mind. And there are some preachers who do tell a lot of jokes, but people need to understand that it is a serious business. A number of years ago, there was a preacher from Texas. His name was Ben Zickfus. Ben Zickfus. And Ben Zickfus not only was a preacher, but he taught physical education. And he could do acrobatic things, and he could do physical things with his body. He could do all kinds of track and field things, because he had this incredible body that he just dealt with all the time. And he came up with the idea of having a program that he called Gymnastics to the Glory of God. And I saw this a couple of times, and he did incredible things. He would get up there, he would have somebody hold a ladder, and he would get up there and put his hand, his whole body out like a flag on the ladder. He would do all kinds of things like that. But he made the point at the very, very beginning. He said, I'm going to use my body as an illustration. He said, but I want everybody to remember this is preaching. And I'm here to teach you lessons. And while you may remember some of the things I do to illustrate it, He said, I want you more than that to remember the point that I'm making. And he did a very good job of it, of using his whole body and doing different acrobatic things and physical things with his body to illustrate the point, but he made the point very clear that he was really concerned about people getting the lesson. He told me that he had several different programs like this. He did the whole book of 1 John using his body as an illustration. And a lot of things he did that. But it's wonderful to think about how he had it right, that this is here to learn lessons, to learn from the Word of God more than anything else. It's nice to see something that's entertaining. It's nice to laugh at a joke. It's nice to have all those things. That's good. There's nothing wrong with it. Not sinful. But if we say we have to be entertained, we've missed the point. Secondly, preaching is not a public relations situation. Now, we need to be making the right impression on everybody that we can. We need to do what we can to let the world know that we are trying to follow Jesus Christ. But some preachers have the idea that they want everybody just to like them. And if you don't like me, well, there's something wrong. I'll do whatever I've got to make you like me. But Jesus said this, Luke 6, verse 26, woe to you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did they of the false prophets that were before you. The fact of the matter is, when everybody likes somebody, somebody's not doing their job. Because there are times when we have to call people into account. There are times when we have to talk about sin. There are times when every preacher has gone to somebody and said, I need to talk to you and talk about something that they are doing wrong. Sometimes it's a moral situation. Sometimes it's an integrity situation. Sometimes they're causing division in the church. All kinds of situations that come up. But when somebody says, well, I just want everybody to like me, well, that's just not the work of a preacher. Thirdly, it is not the work of preaching to be a cheerleader. I knew a preacher up in Tennessee, and he said, my job is to be a cheerleader. Well, it's true. Paul did say, the Hebrew writer said, we are to provoke one another to love and good works. But when that man that was the cheerleader died, the people in his congregation just couldn't get used to somebody else in their preaching. Because he had never really been a serious preacher. He was one who had a lot of goals, and he had a lot of drives, and he had a lot of things happen. They got buttons, and they got ribbons, and they got awards, and they got this, and they got that. Somebody was always getting rewarded for something on Sunday. And again, I can't say that's a sin. But when people think that, yeah, that's preaching. That the preacher, rah, rah, rah. No. There are times when we want to express appreciation to people. There are times when we want to say that somebody's doing a good job. There are times when we want to thank people. We don't do it enough. Sometimes we miss somebody who's done something, but we want to just thank people for what they're doing in the church. But preaching is more than being a cheerleader. Also, preaching is not being a politician. Now, some people don't know this, but the fact of the matter is, it is illegal. There are laws in every single state that prohibits a preacher from espousing any political person from a pulpit. Now, you can talk about moral issues. You can talk about right and wrong. But you can't say, I think you ought to go vote for John Smith because he's the best man for the job. Preacher actually does that, breaks the law. He could be arrested. Most people don't know that. Now, there are times when people have done that. Times when they've had political people come to a church and he gets up in front of everybody. And everybody knows what he's there. He's not there to worship. He's there to get votes. That's what he's doing. He's a politician. That's not what preaching is about. And as long as we're talking about politics, some preachers have the idea that their job is to politicize the situation in the congregation. And sometimes preachers have even undermined elders by saying, I don't like what the elders are doing. I don't like the decisions they're making. And so they'll get people to get in kind of a rebellious attitude towards the elders and politicalize the congregation. That is sin. That is just wrong. When we have elders, hopefully we will have elders sometime in the near future. But we need to support them with prayer, with cooperation, with love, and all the good that we can give to them in every way. Also, being a preacher is not merely being an orator. Now, everybody likes good speakers. I like to hear good speakers. But I know that preaching is more than that. Paul said the gospel is the power of God to salvation, Romans 1:16. He didn't say the preacher is, he said it's the gospel. He said to Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. We need to keep in mind that a man can be a great speaker and never, never touch the gospel. I had somebody talk to me one time about a Bible class teacher. This man was a tremendous speaker, and he could take any part of the Bible and say, well, today we're going to look at Leviticus chapter 13. And it might be some obscure passage, it might be some part we've never looked at, it might be about the tabernacle, it might be about the priesthood of the Old Testament, it might be about all kinds of things. And it would make it sound interesting. Make it sound interesting. One day somebody came out after church and they said, can I talk to you about something? I said, sure. He said, you know, I've been sitting in his classes for a long time now. He said, he never really touches the Bible, does he? I said, no, he doesn't. I said, it's not really helping people. It's interesting, but it's really not touching the Bible. A man can be a great speaker and not really be preaching. On the other hand, sometimes people say, we only want to hear the good speakers. Why? Preachers did not die for your sins. Jesus Christ did. Preachers did not go to the cross. Jesus Christ went to the cross. Preachers did not shed their blood. The Lord Jesus Christ did. He's the one we want to emphasize in our preaching. Also, preaching is not being harsh. Some people have had the idea, well, if the preacher isn't really getting down on somebody, if he's not really calling somebody out, if he's not really dealing, you know, in a hard way, he's really not preaching. I've heard a couple of people say that in my life. They said, well, I don't like that preacher. He says, he doesn't really preach the gospel. And I said, what do you mean? Well, you heard him. He really didn't preach the gospel. He didn't get down on anybody. Paul said it this way in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. He said, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. Gentle among you. Yes, there's times when we've got to call out sin. Yes, there's times when we've got to tell people you're doing wrong in the sight of God. Yes, there's times when we've got to say, look, you need to repent. But when we do that, it should break our heart. Because it breaks God's heart. And we should say, I want to do this in every bit of love that I can, but you're just not doing right. Now, what is the task of a preacher? We'll deal with that tonight, because there's a lot that the New Testament says about that. We'll get that in our lesson tonight. But I hope that all of us will think seriously about preaching, about what the work of a preacher is, that we will think about this, pray for our preacher's committee. I really believe somewhere out there, God has picked out a man. He may be young, he may be old, he may be middle-aged, he may be from Alabama, he may be from Tennessee, he may be from Connecticut. But the fact is, God has picked out a man. And he will know the Word of God, and he will love God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he will want to help people go to heaven, and he will want to help people do what is right. And that one day we will have that man here and help us all do God's will. And one day hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Now we're going to sing our invitation hymn. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we invite you to do that this morning. And as a child of God, you need to rededicate your life on it. Do that this morning. Whatever your needs might be, however we can help, in every way, why don't you go forward as we stand, as we sing.